Welcome to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, episode 4, covering Shadows and Ghost in the Machine. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and with me is Sarah Blair. What's up, Sarah?
Hey, how's it going?
Great, great. I'm excited to get into this Podwatch, huh? It's exciting times.
It is. This is great. I'm so excited for it.
Now, these are some earlier episodes in season one. This is like early X-Files here. And back in season one, they were trying some things, and they're trying some things out. They were hit and miss, but you know, overall, I have a general positive opinion of these couple episodes. I know that people can be pretty down on a lot of early season one episodes, but what's your take on season one and just like the early X-Files, Sarah?
As I was watching these episodes, I was thinking how much I miss the Mulder and Scully typing out their field reports and their deep thoughts with Mulder and Scully type thing. Because they don't do that later on. They kind of dropped that. It's something, it helps you kind of get into their characters a little bit. And I think it's great that they did that at the beginning because it sort of helps you get to know them a little bit better and how they think. And it was nice to have that insight into their
right,
characters.
It literally gets you in their head. You know, I said it's the equivalent of a captain's log on Star Trek, right? Or a personal log on Star Trek. I mean, that's what that is, a case report, blah, 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 blah. Also, right. In the early seasons, the microfish, which I love, make an appearance as well. But we'll get into it here. The first episode we're going to talk about is Shadows. Shadows aired on October 22nd, 1993. It was written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong and directed by Michael Cattleman. You know, I'm going to say, like, this was almost a great episode, I think. I think it had a great setup and a truly, like, mysterious mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as a TV viewer, I'm usually like two steps ahead of all this like genre TV. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know how this is going to play out. But there's actually some interesting twists and turns here in this episode as to what was going on.
Right, yeah. It was suspenseful, and it was a great, solid X-File. And I would say that probably in the overall series ranking, I would put it somewhere in the middle-ish. Maybe like between 100 and 125 or so. Because it wasn't super awesome, but it wasn't terrible either, you know?
Right, and there were some great moments of levity in it as well. Like when Scully does the whole, they're here. You don't really expect that. You know, I love it when this, because she's the straight man, right? She's the straight man. And whenever the straight man does comedy, it like takes you by surprise. It's like, oh, wow.
It does.
It's really funny.
Exactly. She had some great little quips in there. It was fun to see her personality shine a little bit.
Although, you know, speaking of, you know, we were talking about the old technology, and the 90s technology is in full effect in this episode. We have microfish, you know, going. Listen, kids, for those of you who don't know who microfish was, you know, back before the internet existed, more or less, you had to go down to the library and put these little micro, that's why it's called microfish, microscopic film in a machine, and it would blow up newspapers for you so you could read it. And it just, I remember doing this. Did you ever use microfish? Because I did it back like at the local library back in the day.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
So cool, wasn't it?
I actually had a report, my first research paper that I ever did. I looked up the Roswell crash on microfiche.
Oh, wow. That is legit X-Files. That is so X-Files.
Yeah. It was right when I was first getting into the X-Files. I was a freshman in high school. And so I was like 14-ish years old, 14, 15. We had to pick a subject. We could pick any subject we wanted for the research paper. So I chose that. Of course, because,
I know, right?
You know, obsession was born.
Well, we had the microfish, we had cassette tapes in this episode, and we also had the MacGuffin of the entire episode was the floppy disk, right? I mean, could this episode get any more 90s? And I don't take that away from the episode at all. Like, that is not why I don't think it's great. I think it's good, like you said, probably middle of the road, maybe a little above middle of the road. I do feel like, you know, well, all the stuff like the ghost, you don't know if the ghost is good or bad or what its intentions are. That's very interesting. But I feel like it hits its climax too early, you know, in the house there where the guy's floating. And of course, Scully gets her seatbelt stuck. She can't get in and see the ghost. That's so early X-Files. Like, okay, how do we find a way to keep Scully from seeing all this stuff, right? She's just one step behind for whatever reason. But that was very intense stuff, right?
The
guy, he's like floating in the house, and that is hardcore. But then it just kind of meanders towards its conclusion in the last, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. But also the one thing that stood out to me was the ATM cameras when she gets kidnapped, because that was kind of right when that was sort of coming out, right? When the ATMs were coming out, that was sort of a new thing. I think. I can't remember, but it seemed
Yeah, I'm
like
not
it.
Sure how long they've had it. I mean, speaking of security cameras, though, they have the classic enhance thing, which is such a trope, and the X-Files goes on to do this in other episodes as well, and you see it in all kinds of movies and TV shows, and it's just not accurate, people.
Right.
Like, you cannot take an image that is, you know, X amount of pixels and zoom in on it and then get more clarity. I mean, I know it happens in Ascension.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when Scully's in the back of that cop car, yeah. And then it happens in Soft Light as well, when they just keep zooming in on Tony Shalhoub and find like where he works because the name on his jacket, you know, stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
but you know, we accept that. We suspend our disbelief because those kind of things move the story forward. But yeah, you know, overall, you know, I like this episode. I think ghost episodes as you move on the X-Files, or I guess, I mean, yeah, he was a ghost, right?
Basically,
I think it's safe to call this a ghost episode, a spirit, whatever you want to call it. Those are always hard to do because there are no rules, right, for the supernatural world. With things like tangible things like monsters or even aliens, to a certain degree, you can say these are the rules for these things. But with ghosts, you don't know, like, are they always there? Can they walk through walls? Can they have a physical, you know, influence on things around them? So it's hard to build drama with episodes where they're spirits like this because you don't know, you know, what they can and can't do.
Exactly. Yeah. But then that last moment, you know, it was really good too, where she's, you don't know if it's still there or not, or what's going on.
And like, oh no, it's just the normal explanation. No worries there. But I think that was a very cute thing to do, a very self-aware thing to do for the X-Files, and impressive that they could do some comedy like that so early in the run, especially in an episode that was, you know, as dark as this one, to have the kind of funny ending.
Exactly. Yeah.
There is one bit of dialogue in here that I really liked. Mulder asked Scully, "Do you believe in the afterlife, Scully?" And she says, "I'd settle for a life in this one," which is,
yes.
I think we can all relate to that sometimes in our life, right?
Right, exactly.
All right, well, let's move on to our next episode, Ghost in the Machine. It aired on October 29th, 1993, written by Alex Ganza and Howard Gordon, and directed by Gerald Friedman. So this one is about classic sci-fi story of an AI becoming self-aware and taking matters into its own hands. What did you think of Ghost in the Machine, Sarah?
I think I like Shadows better.
Oh, really? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I really liked Ghost in the Machine, but please tell me why you like Shadows better, or tell me why you didn't like Ghost in the Machine.
Well, I did. It's not that I didn't like Ghost in the Machine. I did like it. It's a really good episode. I think it felt a little more hokey, and I think they were trying to do a little bit too, I don't know. It just felt, I think it's mostly that technology and AI has become so advanced lately,
right,
that looking back on it, it really stood out to me as more, you know, one of those things where nobody really knew what AI was going to become. So now it just seems extra cheesy, I think. And a lot of the episodes, I mean, you take with a grain of salt because, you know, the technology just wasn't there, but this one stood out to me more than usual.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking just now about Shadows and how they had the old 90s technology. I mean, I think it's different when you see a show from the 90s have 90s technology as opposed to Ghost in the Machine here, where you see a show in the 90s predicting future technology.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, that's not quite out when... I mean, I got to say, I did like this episode, but the computer was really cheesy. Like the whole, well, file open. You know, it's like, ooh, what does it mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the display was just so cheesy. Mm-hmm. And then I got the cheesiest thing. One of the cheesiest things I've ever seen in the X-Files was at the end when they kill the computer, the COS, and it says, why? And it's like, that is such a cliche horror movie ending for it to be that way. There were some, I did want to point out some notable guest stars in this episode. You had Rob LaBelle play the scientist who invented the computer. He's I'm a Smallville guy, right? So okay. He was Dr. Walden on Smallville. He was in a few episodes of Smallville in season two, so that's how I recognized him for. He was also probably best known for by genre fans as Crazy Eddie in First Wave. If anybody's familiar with that show, check that one out. And then the double agent security guard, played by Blue Mancuso, played the character of Franklin Stern on Smallville as well. So I had lots of Smallville connections here. And the house that that the doctor lives in, that is Dr. Wells' house on The Flash. So,
Much superhero the house, tie-in. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they've used that house in other episodes of The X-Files, too.
Yeah, I mean, they have these favorite locations, favorite actors, too, I guess, for all the shows that, that film up in Canada. There's a lot of familiarity.
It's like the one really fancy mansion in town that you go to for the rich guy's house.
So, what did you think of Deep Throat being in this episode? It's a little odd for him to be in a non-mythology episode.
Yeah.
He just was like, oh, Mr. Mola. You know, I mean, I love Deep Throat.
That's a great impression. Nice.
Well, thank you, Miss Sarah. he is going to disappear and come out a different man. I love Deep Throat, but it did feel like they just put him in here to kind of, you know, tie up some loose ends and connect some dots for Mulder.
Exactly. Yeah, he sort of pops up when it's like they don't know what else to do, how to help Mulder get to the next part, and it's like, oh, let's just have Deep Throat come in because
the phone a friend option.
Exactly. The one thing that really made me sort of chuckle a little bit was when Scully climbs up into the air vent. Mulder's like, here, you're small, you can go in the air vent, and then the fan starts blowing and Mulder is just sort of putzing around like, Scully, where are you? And she's like about to get blown into this gigantic fan. And the one thing that I was like, where's all this paper coming from in the vents? There was so much paper.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder if they hadn't planned that initially, but they just see that she's hanging in front of this fan and there's like no drama, right? There's right. No, like, you need to see stuff. It's like when you're in a tornado. It's not enough you're in a tornado. You need to see a cow fly by in the tornado,
exactly.
Right? So it's not enough you're hanging in front of this giant fan. You need to see debris fly at you. What other debris would there be in an office building than just
post-it
paper?
Notes, like crumpled up post-it notes.
Oh, man.
And she comes out and she's all bloody and beat up.
That's true. I did wonder, like, what happened to her to get that way. I mean, she's all disheveled.
You don't actually see how she gets out. Poor Scully.
This episode, it did remind me a lot of just all kind of before people had personal computers, right? Mm-hmm. Before we understood what computers are, we're talking like 80s, early 90s, you know, like Superman 3, for example. I'm gonna keep going back to Smallville and Superman and all that, but that's my bread and butter, guys. But you know, Superman 3, the Richard Pryor character invents a supercomputer and he can program it to do whatever he tells it to do, and that's it. Like, that's the only explanation, that's the only thing that they say in that movie to explain how it can do all these crazy things. And that's pretty much the thing here. It's like it was a time when computers and fiction were more magic than science, right?
Yeah, when computers were magic. And that's before, I mean, like right now, it still seems that way to me because, you know, back then, I never would have imagined being able to have every episode of The X-Files in my pocket available to watch wherever I am. So it still seems like magic to me.
That's a good point.
You know, and I wouldn't have probably, it would have been great because I wouldn't have had to frantically sit there and record every episode so that I could watch it over and over again. I would have just been like, oh, well, in the future, in the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
I'm glad you got that reference.
In the year 2000.
In the year 2000. Yes.
If you guys don't get that reference, just look it up on YouTube. It's going to Brian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, one last thing about Ghost in the Machine. What did you think of Mulder's FBI friend there who meets an early end?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. He was a jerk.
He was a jerk, and I like the interplay between him and Mulder because, you know, he takes credit for Mulder's work, and Mulder kind of just calls him out on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cool to see Mulder kind of stand up for himself because he's usually, especially in these early episodes, any kind of, like, normal FBI person is, you know, calling him Spooky Mulder and, you know, give him a hard time, not take him seriously. And it's good to see him, like, stand up for himself and like, hey, man, WTF, right?
Exactly. And he kind of, his ex-partner was a little bit like Scully's friend in Tomb. Was it? Yeah.
Oh, no, Squeeze. Yeah.
Squeeze. They were both kind of jerks. And I'm glad Mulder and Scully were able to find each other because they're not jerks.
Well, this starts a long line of whenever somebody comes back who Mulder used to work with, they're probably going to die. Right? Like you just look at all these episodes like, oh, Mulder's old mentor and Young at Heart, right? Dead, right? You just keep going down the list, or gosh, even Scully, right? Because in Born Again? No, that's the other. How many Resurrection episodes are there
so
in the X-Files?
Especially in the first season.
I'm going to remember it, guys. I'm going to remember. Lazarus. Okay, yes. Lazarus, that's Scully's old instructor / lover, right? Mm-hmm. And he ends up dead, too. It's like, hey, if you want to stay alive in the X-Files, do not have no Mulder and Scully prior to their work on the X-Files, because if you show up, you will die.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, one thing that I did really like about this episode was the OS operator guy. I did not see that coming.
Oh, the twist?
Yes.
Yeah.
The twist.
That's true. I didn't see that twist either, because he just seems like a normal, like,
really straight.
Your everyday guy who works in the building, you know, oh, I don't know anything about this. And then he, you know, pulls the gun out and I'm like, oh, what a twist. So that was pretty good.
That was really effective. Yeah.
So for a couple early episodes of The X-Files, you know, I liked both of these. I think they're solid. I think they're, you know, above average, solid episodes, especially for early on in this show's run. All right, Sarah, well, that was fun talking about these two episodes of The X-Files with you today. If people want to find you out there on the internet and talk to you more about microfish and VHS tapes, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter, Sarah L. Blair, SarahLBlair. And I also have my website, sarahlblair.com. And I'm around on Facebook sometimes, too, so you can find me there. But pretty much always on Twitter. I hang out there a lot.
Awesome. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of my own podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show. We're on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. And I'm also the host of another podcast, podcasting all the time, called Standard Orbit on the Trek FM network. We talk about the old and new adventures of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the X cast itself, you can find us on Twitter at the X_cast, and you can find us on Facebook. Our group is the X cast X Files podcast fan group. So just search the X cast on Facebook and you'll find us there. So tomorrow, the Pod Watch will be back with Ice and Space. Wow, that's quite a two-pack right there.
Yeah.
Both sides of the spectrum there. But until then, trust no one.